Hello, everybody. Great to be with you again. Jack is here with me. He's underneath my chair. I've just stopped him from eating an electrical cord. So I think he was a little put out that I stopped him from electrocuting himself. But God almighty, puppies, what do you do? But at any rate, everything's going smoothly and swimmingly, in fact. And I thought that we would talk about authentic living. Now, the first question you got to ask yourself is, what the hell does he mean, authentic living? I mean, if we're alive and we're breathing and all of that, then we're authentically alive, are we not? And yeah, we're authentically alive, but that doesn't mean that we're living authentically. Because what I mean by when I say living authentically is, I mean, living in alignment with what is. You see, the funny thing about what is there ain't nothing but what is. You know, I just got out of a session with a friend of mine in England, and she said something about oneness or whatever. And I just told her, well, you know, so that's the funny thing about oneness. There ain't but one of them. But we don't live in this what is very often, do we really? I mean, we're not actually living in oneness. We're actually living in separation, which means that we're living, the conscious. This is this the character is living in its head while the body is living in awakeness. You see? So we don't have those two connected. The body is in what is, always has been in what is, always will be in what is. The body is perfectly content in what is. It has no complaints, even when it's cold or hungry or ill. The body has no complaints. It has alerts. You know, and it may be well, it may be sick, it may be and the character may be happy or sad, but the body itself has no complaints because the body can't think. That is a mental thing, and that's where the suffering begins because we pay attention to what's in our head instead of what is. So, let me tell you a little bit about authentic living in regard to me. When I started teaching, I think I've mentioned this to you before. When I started teaching, I mean, I thought I was supposed to sound like Eckhart Tolle or Rupert Spira or somebody, you know, just somebody, you know, this just real nice, lovely. And instead, I got this madman with an incredible southern accent who came on and was being goofy. And it was like, God Almighty, this can't be non-duality. What's the problem with this? And at one point, I deleted all my videos because I didn't think that I was, you know, that I was good enough. I didn't think that I mean, this is crazy for a guy who's supposed to be awake. But it was nonetheless, I was not awake to my teaching yet. And the idea was that that Fred was not enough for you. You know, no, and the interesting thing, of course, there is that I've invented a Fred and a you. And neither one of those things is true in a sense that there's a you, absolutely, but there's not a separate you. And there's no Fred here. I've looked for him for 35 years. I still refer to him, but I cannot find him to save my life. So, what I mean is that. Or my experience, let me put it this way. Let me just jump right out of that sentence. Let me back up and do a retake without changing the camera any. So my experience was that when I started back teaching, in other words, I deleted all my videos, I quit teaching for a little while. It's a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago. And because then I found out I was miserable. And all of that. And so I came back to teaching. And I had no choice but to deal with this, but to accept this guy, right, as my spokesman for non-duality. Nobody would ever think of me as a spokesmodel, but that's what I am. My name's Fred Davis. I'm a spokesmodel for non-duality. God almighty, poor non-duality. So, I was didn't think I was enough, but I was all I had. Yeah, you get that? In other words, I was at one point I was looking for an alternative Fred. You know, who would just have a who would have an alternative mode of presenting this to you. The only problem was that there was no alternative Fred, and there was no alternative way for me to present this. If I was going to present it, I was going to have to present it from my heart. I was going to have to present, not do a show for you, but just come click on and be here, Fred Davis. You know, whatever that is. I mean, the Fred Davis character as my spokesmodel. So that's what I did. And, you know, the funny thing happened is that when I did that on my videos simultaneously, or almost, and the videos came right afterwards when I started doing videos a second time. But I wrote the Book of Undoing, and when I wrote the Book of Undoing, I wrote that from my heart too. I wrote it from the idea that I was a good teacher, so to speak. There was a good teaching coming through here, would be a better way to put it. You know, but I don't always talk to myself in a non-duly correct fashion. It's like, do this stupid. So, but I wrote that book coming from the idea that there was a very sharp teaching coming through here, which I had witnessed. I could not believe it because it was coming through this, and this was not worthy of a sharp teaching, and as many of you will agree. But one landed here anyway. There's not anything I can do about it. I can't, the teaching is here. I can't change the character that it's coming through. And I don't need to change the character that it's going through. You know, we already have an Eckhart Tolle and a Rupert Spira and an Adyashanti, all these guys that I admire. We already got one of these. We didn't have a Southern, you know, hick comedian. We just didn't. And somebody, one of my clients, told me the other day, we should have an Advaita comedy channel. She said, "You'd just be great." But we don't have one. See, that's an alternative future. Then there isn't one. So what I did was I started telling the truth. Because I'll tell you something, when this teaching first started coming out, people first started waking up, and I was waking up. I mean, I never dreamed I was going to wake up a bunch of people. I never had that in mind. I just thought I was going to teach. And I didn't really have a goal of waking up a bunch of people. And I didn't have a goal of not waking up a bunch of people. I just didn't have a whole lot of expectations about it. But wasn't really living the truth once this thing started coming through, because I was not actually coming out and saying, "Listen, God Almighty, everybody I'm talking to." Or at that time, it was like 3 out of 4. When I first started, it was about 50%. Then it went to 3 out of 4. And now it's 95% easily. So I didn't tell anybody that, because every time I let on something like that, it was misunderstood. The reason I say it was misunderstood is that I had other non-dual teachers tell me that I wasn't waking people up, so I didn't know what to tell these clients that are woken up. You say, you know, so and so says, you know, I can't wake you up using this method. And what am I going to do? Take it back? But I was like paying so much attention to these other people that, you know, that I just let them get under my skin. And it was like, okay, I must really, you know, this must not really be happening. Okay, because they tell me you can't wake up with a method. You can't do this. You can't do that. It's not happening. And I'm just going to deny my experience, because it's what human beings do every moment of every day. Almost everybody on the planet is overriding their experience with your thinking, and I was no better. That's precisely what I did. I overrode my thinking, my experience with my thinking, and decided I should be something other than what I was. See, I can't be something other than what I am. And authentic living is just recognizing that I am what I am. And then giving you the best that I am. Be the best Fred I can be. I can't be Eckhart Tolle. Gotta be the best Fred Davis. I'm not that somebody told me one day, you know, you're the next Adyashanti. I said, no, I'm the first Fred Davis. Because this is the key, is that once I took this place, the funny thing that happened is that my teaching took off, you see, because y'all didn't have anything against a Southern hick who would make you laugh. I did. But I got ahead of y'all. I decided what I knew what y'all wanted and needed, and that I wasn't it. But, you know, when I came out and I wrote the book on it, look, I'm waking people up and this is how I'm doing it. Bam! My life, whole life changed virtually overnight. I mean, just it was astonishing, I promise you that. So it still is astonishing. I'm never going to get used to this, which is great because Betsy and I just roll with it. You know? We just look at each other and shake our heads. Can you believe this is happening? I swear to you, this is really true. We really do this. So by coming out here and saying, look, I don't care what anybody else says. Listen to those words. Look, I don't care what anybody else says. What my way is a valid way because it's working for me. See, there's no asking for permission in that, is there? Because that's what I really wanted. I wanted approval. I wanted permission to be to be a non-dual teacher. I wanted permission from other teachers to be a non-dual teacher. And they had given it to me until I started waking people up. And they started pulling that back in until they told me I had lost my mind. So once I stopped believing their thinking, do you see that? Because I was not only overriding my experience and my client's experience with my thinking, I was overriding with other people's thinking too. Because I thought that what somebody else thought was actually important. Now that is a disturbed teacher. That's a disturbed human to think that what anybody else thinks about me is actually important because it's not. I mean, I would like to be admired and for you to think highly of me, but if because that's really convenient and it feels good and all that stuff. But if you don't, who cares? Really, who cares? Because you're not in my life in the sense that I'm the one living this life. It's very important that I approve of the way that this thing is. Actually, it's not even important that I improve, that I approve of it. I just better accept it, right? It just turns out that I do approve of it. Because, you know, because it's just so stuck on itself. I mean, it just thinks it's such a clever story. And that's all it is. It's just a story. Fred's just a story. There's no Fred here. Never has been. Never will be. So this authentic living, doesn't make any difference whether you're a spiritual teacher or not. That's my life. What's your life? I have attorneys sometimes. Not just attorneys, but attorneys and short order cooks, for that matter, who will tell me, you know, I'm just miserable doing what I'm doing. I just know that what I'm supposed to be doing just is something other than this. And what I have to tell you is that every single one of them is wrong. Because those units can't be in the wrong place. Those units can't be doing the wrong thing. So they're in the right place until they notice they're in another place. And then that place will be the quote, right place. So what we want to do is we want to surrender to who we really are. We got to accept this thing. And that's so tough, isn't it? I mean, you know, none of them are worthy or anything else skillful. Or we were either, you know, mine always ran from, you know, one end to the other, which is that I'm not as clever as you or I'm more clever. But I skipped out on that middle average thing completely. We have to surrender to what we find. Because here's the deal is that, you know, you are not the character there. Just like I'm not Fred the character, absolutely not. But when I woke up, I noticed that I was still hung with this unit. In other words, I still have the experience of this unit. In reality, maybe none of this is real. Maybe it's all illusion, like people tell us. Okay, what's my experience? My experience is that it's real. My experience is that there's free will here. So what am I going to do? Am I going to tell the unit you don't have any free will, so you can't do anything? I know people who've done that, and they sit in their chairs, and they don't get anything done. And they blame it on awakening instead of laziness or fear. Because if there's a lot of fear on that, it means the awakening is not very complete. Because the fact is that you can't fail. You can't fail. That unit's already, it's succeeding right now. This unit is succeeding at being a masterful Fred. You may like it or not like it, but what I'm telling you is that the universe likes it. Because this is the way that it is until it's some other way. We're not going to get anywhere in moving toward an ideal authentic lifestyle, which is I'm not going to be a lawyer anymore, or I'm going to grow vegetables now. And that's fine. That's great. You can make a living growing vegetables if you do it well. And it's something we certainly need. But you're not going to get there until you stop being the not lawyer. You see this? That's what it is. Is he telling me, oh man, I can't stand this. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer. What are you doing? Oh, I'm lawyering. How about that paycheck? What'd you get that for? Oh, I'm lawyering, but I'm not a lawyer. I'm not meant to be a lawyer. I'm not supposed to be a lawyer. I'm not happy being a lawyer. I'm a not lawyer. No. Be a lawyer first. Be a lawyer. Accept who you are. Accept, because accept the situation. This is the arising. The arising is that this jewel of Indra's net, this pinpoint of consciousness, is a lawyer this time around. Yeah? The funny thing that will happen is once we completely accept the fact that I am a lawyer, and it's just, this is the way that the universe is evolving, and there's nothing I can do about it, I just may as well be the best that I can be. The funny thing will happen. When we give up on that resistance, when we give up on being a not lawyer, things will open up. They will. They really will. You know, I was a not teacher. Yeah? I was a not teacher until I started being my, you know, and I accepted what I had. And by God, I became a teacher, you know? So, and I don't know what your experience is of it, but my experience is this thing is really a lot of fun. it's great to watch. So, accepting the present moment, accepting the present arising, this is all we ever have to surrender to. Is this moment, is this arising. We never have to surrender to anything else because there never is anything else. There's now, right now, and no other now. No other time. There's no past, there's no future, there's now. We reflect on the past, we're doing it now. We project the future, we're doing it right now. So accept this arising on this arising's condition. You know, let me tell you something. I had the toughest session, one of the toughest awakening sessions the other day that I've ever had, where the guy actually ever woke up. He was a nice guy. He was in Sweden, and he wanted to wake up. He told me, you know, I flunked the Founders course. He said, I'm one of the few that never even got a glimpse. I got nothing. And he said, you know, and then I read about you and I thought, well, I'll even give this guy a try. And he fought me tooth and nail the whole way. I could see why he didn't do well in the Founders course, because he didn't want to wake up. He wanted to be made to wake up. And that actually is the situation with more of you than you think, is you want to be made to wake up against your will. Because you won't surrender to the truth of awakening, which is there's no Fred, there's no Fred, there's no Fred, there's no Fred. This is we gotta die to it before we can live for it. and live as it. We got to die to it first. So this guy, anyway, he was fighting me tooth and nail. And I finally said, listen, man, listen, oneness. I said, I don't care if you wake up or not. You know, it's nothing in it for me. I just, you know, I just wonder if, you know, I mean, just telling you that if you want to wake up, wake up. If you were happy living over there as the Kyle unit, then go ahead, and it's not in his real name, then go ahead and live as the Kyle unit. I'm tickled to death for you. I can't make you wake up. Only thing I can do is present this. I can't wake up. I can't do awakening to you. I can't do awakening for you. But I can help you. I can do awakening with you, if you will. I can encourage awakening when you really want to wake up. But this guy was so afraid that he was going to lose the argument because he had all of these intellectual arguments. He was just certain, you know, that he just was that he was right, and that I had to, you know, if I would just see things his way, he'd wake up. That's the kind of insanity I was looking at. So when I absolutely just said, I don't care. You know, what I did say is this, but oneness, let me tell you something. If you're going to wake up, you better hurry. Because I'm just about out of here. And about 1 minute, 2 minutes later, I don't know. I didn't have, while I'm looking at my watch, almost immediately, the guy woke up. Because I had stopped pulling the rope. I was going to see if it was around here. My little dogs have a rope. And Willie will get on one side and Jack will get on the other. And they just pull. They love to do that. Pull this way, pull that way. But whenever one of them drops the rope, the other one falls back on his butt. Because he's not getting any resistance. And it just caves in. And it's exactly what happened to this guy. But it didn't happen until he quit fighting the present arising, until he accepted himself for what he was, which was wrong. I'm over here trying to pull. I paid this guy $300 in order to get him to help me wake up because he's got a method that works, and now I'm insisting on do it my way. I am insane. And when this can be intuited even, then the resistance is gone. The tug of war is there. I don't care if he wakes up or not. And bam. I surrendered first. Do you get this? I surrendered, and that was very quickly, boom, so did it. That tuning fork just went, I like that. And it woke up too. Authentic living is being who you are today. And how, you know how you can tell who you really are? You can tell if you're comfortable. I'm the most comfortable guy I know. I don't put on any acts. I just come out here and I be Fred Davis, or I be not Fred Davis and have this teaching work through it, however you want to put it. But I come out here and I allow this thing to just do its deal. It just does what it does anyway. So it doesn't really need my advice and control, of which I have neither, you know. No good advice and no control at all. When I just let this thing come out here, I'm very comfortable and great stuff happens. You know, wow, the next thing I know, I've got, you know, a pretty big teaching. I'm not saying that you do this for the sake of getting a pretty big teaching. I didn't do that. I was surrendering because I didn't have any choice. I surrendered because it was the only available choice, really. Because what I had seen was that I just like this guy, I can't wake up and now I notice that I can't quit trying to. Can't wake up my way and now I notice I can't quit trying to wake up my way. That's actually what happened. Is that awakeness said this is insanity and it woke up on its own. Didn't need that guy's help. Didn't even need my help. But it took it 2.5 hours to find out it didn't need my help. Oh boy, this is a weird thing, isn't it? The way this all unfolds into the different levels of relativity and the universal and the absolute and all this stuff. What I'm suggesting, you don't have to do this. Look at this. I have no resistance. You don't need to do this unless you do. I'm just suggesting that you might want to try living from a comfortable space. And if you wake up over there and you notice that you're in an uncomfortable space, accept it for what it is while skillfully looking for another position, another way to live. Because it doesn't have to be about a job. It can be about a mate. I get that a lot too. It can be about any kind of situation. So what I'm telling you is to... Betsy just got home, so that kind of threw me for just a minute. She hollered up, "Hello, honey," and then when I didn't respond, she went, "Oh, he's doing a video." So we're cruising into a 3-day weekend. I've already said my say on this, and I wish you an excellent holiday. See you now. Bye-bye.